Howdy, and welcome to Bob the Lector. I'm Bob. The purpose of this podcast is to inspire Catholic lectors to bring their proclamation of God's Word to life. This episode is for the February 15th Sunday Mass's first reading. It's the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year A. A reading from the Book of Sirach. If you choose, you can keep the commandments. They will save you. If you trust in God, you too shall live. He has set before you fire and water. To whichever you choose, stretch forth your hand. Before humankind, our life and death, good and evil, whichever they choose, shall be given him. Immense is the wisdom of the Lord. He is mighty in power and all-seeing. The eyes of God are on those who fear him. He understands man and woman's every deed. No one does he command to act unjustly. To none does he give license to sin. The word of the Lord. So it's the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we're hearing from the Book of Sirach, which we had a taste of 7 weeks ago on the Feast of the Holy Family. I gotta tell you, we have our work cut out here. This is a challenging reading. If read at face value, we will be doing a disservice to the people in the pews before us. But if we take a deeper dive and commit to the work, we will move hearts. So let's get to it, shall we? I always start my own lector practice with preparation, which is not the external proclamation, but the internal discernment of the message. What is God saying to us? What is the point of this reading? What's the meaning of this reading? Because if it doesn't mean anything to us, how can we as lectors make it mean anything to the congregation before us? Usually I focus on what the readings say to our hearts, but sometimes I also aim for the head. Let's talk about the head, then the heart. Both the first and second readings talk about God's wisdom, so we have a nice connection between the two, which doesn't always happen. This book was penned by the Jewish scribe Ben Sira, also called Ecclesiasticus. It's one of the seven deuterocanonical books that do not appear in Protestant Bibles. So this was written between 200 BC and 175 BC, say 2,200 years ago. We know a lot more about human behavior now than we did back then. At face value, this reading makes salvation very simple. It's merely a matter of free will. Do good. Don't do evil. Maybe it's that simple for some people, but not for me. And I believe not for most people. Even a mere 200 years later, Paul admitted as much for himself in his letter to the Romans, chapter 7, verses 15, 18, and 19, where he says, "What I do not understand. For I do not do what I want, but I do what I hate. For I know that good does not dwell in me, that is, in my flesh. The willing is ready at hand, but doing the good is not. For I do not do the good I want, but I do the evil I do not want." To choose between right and wrong is simple, but not easy. And for some, it seems nearly impossible. For example, some behaviors are genetically ingrained. There is also addictive behavior, some behavioral and some chemical. Furthermore, we have our family of origin that behaviorally embeds other habits. The age-old question, is it heredity or environment, takes on real meaning here. One of the principles of public speaking is to know your audience. In our congregation, there are those who only need their free will, and then there are those for whom that isn't enough. For the fortunate ones who can change their behavior merely by choosing to do so, it probably doesn't matter how you render this reading. But for the rest of us, presenting it at face value will just be another nail in the coffin of our sense of guilt, failure, and unworthiness. Nonetheless, any change a person undertakes must start with making a choice to change. Success is neither automatic nor guaranteed, but change will certainly not occur without first making that choice. So if you follow Ben Sira's missive to stretch out your hand, God will see and honor your good intention, whether you succeed or fail. So envision those dear souls who fail, face to face, eyeball to eyeball, as you proclaim this reading. Focus on those whose free will is not so free, but those who are plagued by compulsions, the same that haunted St. Paul. Let those people in the pews know they are in good company and that God is compassionate and forgiving of our failures, even the recurring ones. That is the central message. What lessons do you get from this reading? Here's the first segment. If you choose, you can keep the commandments. They will save you. If you trust in God, you too shall live. For the members of the congregation who find it not so simple to keep the commandments, this could open a raw vulnerability. Acknowledge that wound by using an informal, accessible, and compassionate tone. So rather than say, if you choose and if you trust, if you can do so authentically, say, if you choose and if you trust, the same way you would speak in everyday conversation. Highlight choose, keep, save, trust, you too, and live. Pause after you too, and consider saying, shall live, with an upward lilt, to connote vulnerability. Next we have, he is set before you, fire and water. To whichever you choose, stretch forth your hand. Pause after, before you. Although you could also read it straight through as an alternative. Try both approaches and pick the one most authentic to you. Emphasize whichever and stretch forth. Next, before humankind, our life and death, good and evil, whichever they choose shall be given them. Stress life, death, good, evil, whichever, and choose. We again see this oversimplified formula of human behavior that St. Paul himself recognized as inauthentic to his own mortal experience. Insert small pauses after humankind, life, and good, and a full pause after choose. Consider a lilt to given them, either upward or downward, for added accessibility. Also try saying, given them, rather than given them, for a more informal and conversational feeling. Next we have, immense is the wisdom of the Lord. He is mighty in power and all-seeing. Okay, here I feel like we can get back to being real. Emphasize immense, mighty, and all-seeing. If you can do so authentically, add a tremble to the back of your throat for both immense and mighty to emphasize with heightened emotion the magnificence of God. When you say all-seeing, do so tenderly and compassionately. It's scary to think God sees not just everything we do, but also our innermost thoughts. But he does not condemn us. He loves us. Convey that sentiment with the tenor of your voice and your facial expression. This is expanded in the next segment. The eyes of God are on those who fear him. He understands man and woman's every deed. Reconstruct the eyes of God as a question. Follow it with a long pause. Then answer, are on those who fear him. Infuse this entire segment with tenderness, especially for the word understands. This one line is the focal point of this reading. You cannot be too tender, too compassionate, too vulnerable in how you say that word. And when you do so, look up and engage the people in the pews with intimate and direct eye contact. Follow understands with a long pause to draw further attention to it. Also emphasize every. Next we have, no one does he command to act unjustly. To none does he give license to sin. Emphasize no one and to none, and insert short pauses after both impose a long pause after sin before you close. I normally close with the word of the Lord as nothing more than punctuation. But given the intimacy, intensity, and raw emotion of this reading, carry that same tone into the word of the Lord with heartfelt compassion, warmth, and vulnerability. Well, that's all for now. Thanks for listening. My hope is these ideas will help you find your authentic voice, so your proclamation of God's word will transform your listeners, whether they're in pain and broken or just going through the motions. Because the good news deserves great delivery. Visit us on the web at bobthelector.org, and we'll see you at the Ambo.